Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Match Ball.
Hello there, welcome to the show, brought to you in association with Levi Solicitors. There is a 10% discount on your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Will's probate conveyancing, Michael, I've missed it.
Sure you have.
Good to be back.
Did you take advantage of any legal services on your holiday?
No.
No, good. Probably better holiday for it.
Today's not the day today for being jolly or humorous. We have to be very glum and miserable because we lost at Coventry. Look, it's not over by any stretch of the imagination. It all feels a bit doom and gloom, doesn't it? But there's a long way to go.
It was probably the hardest game I thought we had left was this, and we have lost it. And Ipswich, I thought today was their hardest game that they had left, and they've also lost. So in some ways, fine. It's just annoying. It was a game I felt we probably should have got something from because it was a very strange game. Like the tempo of it was all different than what we're used to. They were not pressing, but then did occasionally just look really dangerous. Their kind of big man combo up front.
Well, is it worth starting at the end there, Moscow? What do you think of Pirou's miss?
I thought it was bad.
It was, wasn't it? He should have put that in, shouldn't he?
You said it.
There it is. Thanks, folks. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time. No, but what do you think of what Michael said then, the way that the game shaped up to that point? Then it was not great in the first half, and we did that thing of chucking everyone on in the second half, and we created some chances of them on the back foot, but it wasn't quite enough.
Yeah, we just got suckered a couple of times, and it's, I think, what Michael was saying about this being a game that we kind of had down as difficult. If we're going to lose, it may as well be lose now there with some time. Because you said right at the start, it's not over. It is a long way from over. We're third. There's only a point in it. And to get this one out the way, because we're going to lose at some point. To go through 2024 this far already without losing in the league is very impressive. So you're going to get punched at some point. And we did today. Just a bit of a shame that the things that we'd think would have helped get Groove back in, basically. Didn't have the desired effect.
I'll be interested to know how close to the maximum of he was, like maximum fitness, I mean, and Kamara, who went off at half-time. You wonder, is there some sort of carryover there as well from the illness at the start of the week?
Yeah, and you're bringing on Robertson, Nonto, who are also not fully fit. I think that combined with, I thought, both Bamford and Routier both were pretty terrible throughout the game. And considering they're our central focal points, it was not that surprising that whenever it got to them, it seemed to break down. Like, Routier lost it over and over again. Bamford, when he had it in the box, seemed to always want extra touches. There was a cross that he felt like he should maybe have done better on, because we were watching
from the German office.
We went to, I think it was France today, actually.
I wasn't looking out the window.
Yeah, the CCAT stopped in France in the end to watch the LUTV feed. But you didn't get replays of everything. But there were, I don't know, it felt like there were a few half chances there. And then out of nowhere, it just felt like they scored. They never had any sustained pressure, did they, particularly? But then out of nowhere, goals.
What do you think of the way that it was set up today, Moscow? Because Coventry didn't press us. It's one of the things I noticed in the first half. They allowed us to carry it out from the back. And then, and you were making observations during that game, Michael, that they were basically then crowding the middle of the field and not letting us play through them. What do you think of the shape of it, how it started and our approach and our tempo?
It started well until, because we had some of the chances Michael was talking about, not Bamford's, another one where it was cross low for Bamford, but we had a couple of bright moments at the start where you thought, I think Dan James, Archie Gray was almost in the first minute, wasn't he? And that was an indication that things were going well. But it is, it's a theme and has been a theme of the season that as soon as we go behind, things get a lot harder, and I think we made things more difficult for ourselves with quite a lot of, we're talking about Bamford and Rutten not playing well. I don't know if they were given a lot to work with that was good. We kept trying balls into the middle while our best player, Somerville, was standing on the left, not getting it. And one of our other very dangerous players, Dan James, is standing on the right, not getting it. And there was a lot of just running into the most congested part of the pitch and then running back again to try and stop Coventry from breaking.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think of the goals we conceded? It was frustrating, wasn't it, that one, the Sims one? It was a bit of a mess from the corner.
Yeah, I don't know if Melier could have maybe come for it. It was hanging in the air for a long time, wasn't it? In that way that when it does, you think the keeper could potentially come for it, but
he'd have to be a lot taller.
How much taller than Melier do you want the man to be?
Well, exactly. So I don't think he could really have done anything about it.
The other side to that as well is if it's a very crowded area, you are asking a lot for a keeper to go through bodies, aren't you, there? So, I mean, you can sort of excuse it. And he did bail us out not long after with...
he made a couple of decent saves, actually.
Some saves, didn't he? So
it did feel like it was about 20 feet above him. And then he gets to the back post is when it's at a catchable height. And that's when I think Archie Gray has the opportunity to just get rid of it. Instead, it goes back into the middle, and nobody's looking at their most dangerous striker. I think Ampadu is on him, and then Ampadu kind of wanders away from him and then turns around and he's scored. So, yeah, very easy to say the goalkeeper could have just caught it as it came across at the first point. But I think there was a lot more going on than just that. But, yeah, it was scruffy and disappointing and probably a third synonym.
Wasn't great, was it? No, the question I was asking about the tempo in particular is that they seemed to allow us to have the ball and to carry it out of defence, but it did seem to slow us down, didn't it? They seemed to quite happy to let us kind of pass it about a little bit. Again, which is contrary to the general theme of the season where teams have either pressed us or just sat very, very deep.
We didn't think of anything to do with it.
Yeah.
That's the main thing, apart from, as I say, just stick it into the middle where Rutter and Bamford couldn't do a lot with it, and Somerville was often doubled up on, so I guess it's why there was not much ability to get the ball out to him. But there are times it's been a feature all season when I wonder sometimes if Farker has an issue or has a rule about how long a pass should be. Because you see Somerville or James standing on the wing in what looks like good space. You think, oh, if you switch it here, then they'll be in. But instead, we'll move it quite slowly through the middle over towards that wing, by which time the space isn't there. But what you saw for most of the game was Kamara on the ball, mostly not being able to see a pass forward and then giving it to Roden, who then gives it to Ampadu, who then can't see a pass forward. So he gives it back to Roden, who gives it to Kamara, and the same thing happens again. So whether they're not thinking of enough things to do with the ball, or the players up front were not moving around to give them enough options, I couldn't tell. But yeah, we seemed pretty static, and it didn't help that by that time Coventry were able to just stay in their half and wait and see what we would do.
There's a few people referencing Bielsa's if plan A doesn't work, do plan A better in the comments. Live on YouTube for our TSB Plus members, hello, thank you for joining us. Fewer in number than normal, but I can't think why that is. Yeah, it's the Bielsa crossfield ball that we're missing, isn't it? That sort of high risk, try and get the fullback in on the opposite side that we don't tend to do. But I mean, the approach has worked far more often than not this season. It's just they seem to just have the measure of us, I think, a bit to a certain extent today.
I mean, in some ways, it's not that different than some of the games that we've taken points from recently. Like the whole game could have gone like this. The Watford game kind of did go like this, but we managed to get the late equaliser on it. I think there are probably smaller margins than we are maybe imagining here.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
We won
Pirro shot there from digging a point out there again, much like we did against Watford, and it's all different, isn't it? We start to then celebrate the resilience of the team and all that sort of stuff, which is why I'm not despairing tonight. Yeah, it's shit to lose, but I made an agreement with myself not to get too worried, hopefully, if we dropped points in the running. As long as we were in touch, and like you say, it is only a point, there is still distance left to run in this. If you'd have told us that going into the first week of April that we would have been, 2 points off top and one off the autos, 41 games into the season, whatever it is, then I would have taken that. So, you know, we don't need to stress too much, I don't feel like.
No, but still will.
But of course, because it always feels shit. You're only as good as your last game, aren't you? And just noticed we lost 2-1 to Coventry. Was it deserved?
Ish. Probably. I don't know. I feel like a draw would have probably been about fair, actually, from it. Because it, I didn't feel like they ever exerted much pressure. They just took their chances, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
And there weren't many of those either. And particularly second half, we did the thing that we often do, just have the ball forever, and it takes forever to do something with it. So, but I think the from Coventry's point of view, the lunchtime result with Norwich beating Ipswich was great for us because it gives us it gave us a chance to do something at the top. But it also put some pressure on them because they're chasing those spots in the playoff places. So they had reasons to kind of really want to win that game as well, which is the kind of the point that towards the end of the season that none of these games are easy. Coventry were tough enough at Elland Road, where we only managed to get a point against them, and then being still tough, but with the added pressure on them of trying to get to keep their season going, getting the playoffs, just meant that they could dig in, do a lot of wrestling moves, and get away with them and win.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Half time then, we saw Connor Roberts come on for Glenn Kamara. Again, we don't know if that's related to illness, injury, whatever it might be. What did you think of that and pushing Archie into midfield?
I can only imagine it was fitness related because he likes Kamara and Grove, doesn't he? He's made it clear that there is midfield too when available. And I suppose Archie, I actually think we may have made a change for Archie for Roberts because I thought he was struggling a little bit in the first half at right back. But he went into midfield, did all right. Did probably no better or worse than Kamara was doing in there, I would suggest. But I mean, it's good to have Roberts back, I suppose, as an option, isn't it? Rather than an unable to run Sam Byron, which was the other option there.
Roberts was making quite a few things happen in the second half, being in their penalty area quite often, and seems like a good player. But the worry with both him and Nyonto is that Farc was saying on Thursday that at that point they'd not even been close to being in team training, and were still. He said that they were out for, out for 3 weeks, and we were 10 days in, and now we are 12 days in, and suddenly they're playing. But which is on the one hand, I mean, Nyonto I thought also looked good when he came on, and I think we are at the stage of the season where the tactical training is less important because they should know what they're doing, but. Maybe the flip side is that we saw for the first hour a team that knows what it's doing, but when it wasn't necessarily working, couldn't mix it up. I would have thought I know substitutions are often seen as the way out of it, but just swap Somerville and James to different wings for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
That would have been worth going, and we didn't even do any of that. It seemed very much just, we're going to keep doing this. And I suppose the point is there that eventually we did get a goal and then Piru then did get a very big chance as well. But those little moments we think, well, just, you know, just try it. Just swap them over or do something a bit different, or tell them to stop sticking it into the D of the box every single time. It's like, just give it to Dan James for a while instead of always trying to go to Somerville. Some of those things could have maybe added something, given Coventry a bit more to think about.
Goal number two then, 49 minutes, kind of pisses on your half-time chips, doesn't it, a little bit? We should have fouled in the build-up is one of the notes I made, because I think we implored, was it Somerville over on the far side, who had an opportunity to take the man down? And I think we both said, didn't we, me and you, Michael, like, don't foul him. And actually, looking back on it, should have fouled him.
Well, I mean, from the view, we couldn't see the person completely unmarked at the far side of the pitch, no. Could we? From there, I assumed they weren't throwing anyone forward, but then, I mean, I don't know who should have been picking him up, but Roberts was clearly nowhere near him. And then, would it have been Rodon, I guess? Well,
it's Archie's man, isn't it? Was he Archie's man? But Archie is the last man back off the corner, and we had everybody else up the other end, didn't we? And they counted on us. Is that right? Have I remembered that right?
Yeah, it was from our corner. And then Roberts was over because Somerville was chasing back with their player. And then Roberts went over to help deal with that situation. They got turned back. And then you could see Gray chasing over to the gap that Roberts has left as we're all trying to get back. And then the cross goes over to the back post. And they just managed to do it before we were able to get everybody back in positions. In retrospect, yes, Somerville could have just brought him down because the referee seems to be in that mood where, I mean, he booked Gruev for stopping somebody from going over the halfway line in the first 10 minutes. But then that seemed to happen several more times and there was no further action taken against players for both teams who seemed to do it, and it was absolutely fine.
Weird that, wasn't it? If that was the tone-setting yellow card, Moscow, then what happened to the rest?
Well, he's from Wakefield, this guy, Tom Neild. He's never refereed us before. I don't know if anyone in South Yorkshire wants to go and...
Wakefield is West Yorkshire. I'm from there. It's a fine place.
Absolutely furious, triggered now.
It's the south part of West Yorkshire.
All of the five towns of it as well. great places.
He, to his credit, he was an emergency nurse during COVID and did a lot of hard work. And but I feel that's all ruled out by his performance today. He's...
brilliant. You're a humanitarian. Grow up.
Most of his... career so far has been in Leagues 1 and 2. I think he's done 14 games in the Championship. And
he's quite card happy, isn't he?
3 in the Japanese Division 2 on a little exchange program.
He's a right geek, this guy.
he's not from Wakefield.
I'm helping out. I'm going on an exchange program.
He did start refereeing in his teens, which I think is always a bit of a red flag. He is one of the young referees. Mm. And I know that, you know, referees have to come from somewhere and we should be nice to them, otherwise there won't be any. But I think I'd rather not have any than have this guy.
Well, you know, the podcasts and streams on YouTube, you've got to have your hot takes. Are we saying that you should be straight into Wakefield prison?
Yes.
Good. Lee's in the comments saying, I'm from Wakey, watch it, you lot. What are you going to do?
Well,
give a free kick against
us. Are you friends with Tom Neild? Because he's the one who is bringing shame upon the city.
Just returning to the second goal. Would you have made the sub straight off the back of going 2-0 down? Because it happened at 65 minutes and that's when we probably put them on the back foot. Because I made an argument for that when we were sat here chatting in the second half, saying, surely if you make the change then you give yourself the extra, what was it? It was 15 minutes, wasn't it? Between the second goal going in, where not a right lot happened, I don't think. Subs happened. And then within 3 minutes of the subs occurring, 65 minutes or thereabouts, it was cleared off the line by that header, wasn't it?
I would personally have done Bamford for Joseph at half-time, just because it's been a couple of games now and Bamford's looked off it. And Joseph has, I don't know, turned games, and he did well for our goal, didn't he, as well? It was him starting things off down the left that led to that goal. So I don't know. I'd have brought him on just as an option. And it felt like in a game where the ref was allowing some physical forward play, it made more sense to have a physical striker on.
But isn't that Bamford's purpose, though?
He's not a roughing up type, though, is he? He's a stretch the defence, make them work kind of physical. He's not like a...
Is he?
Yeah.
Right. Why didn't he do that today, then?
Tired and that. Right. Well, and also, I suppose, because they were defending deep, sometimes when teams are pushing up, he constantly makes the running behind, which we very rarely actually pick out, but it does occupy defenders while he does like an arcing run that they have to follow. And he just does that over and over again, which is maybe one of the tough jobs he has that is generally not appreciated.
Mm.
It just, but because they were deep today, he didn't have any space to do that anyway.
And as Moscow say, I was going to say, you say Moscow, there's a crowd in the middle, weren't they?
A ball over the top, the keeper will just pick up, so there's not really any point of doing it. And the keeper will pick it up and then hold on to it for about 2 minutes without the referee actually calling him for it. How he avoided a booking is ridiculous. In the first half of injury time, he had it in his hands for like 25 seconds twice.
You had the stopwatch out, didn't you?
The thing is, I've got this back to the old Bielsa thing about the referees have the rule, have the tools in place to stop this. Just go, you've had the ball in your hands for 25 seconds here. I am going to have to book you. And just didn't. And then had a word with him a few times being like, can you hurry up?
What upsets you more, goalkeepers wasting time or people trashing Wakefield?
Wasting time. I mean, I do trash weight for myself, in fairness, because I'm from there, but that's allowable, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, it's like me with Bradford as well, yeah. Fiercely proud of it.
Not. Exactly. I'm still there, aren't I?
Yeah, technically.
whether or not I want to be or not, you know, I'm still trying to get out. So,
Which brings us back to Wakefield Prison and so on and so forth, doesn't it just?
I thought the ref's decision to book both Sims and Ampadu was an interesting one. That sort of summed up a, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing vibe about him when he was like, ah, just book them both.
It is probably quite rare. I don't know if it's something that's happened in J2 where two players are just
J2
having a cuddle in the middle of the pitch.
Mm. Yeah.
And I do wonder what would have happened if he'd just let it carry on. It might still be joined together now, Sims and Ampadu, and the game's finished, full time, the press conferences are happening and they're still
trying to have a shower. Still coiled together.
Still just be on the pitch. Unmoving. Shut down the floodlights, everybody's gone home, the crisp packets going across an empty Highfield Road or wherever it is now, and then
record attendance for them today, actually, it said, didn't it?
Yeah.
On the which I'm surprised at, actually. It's kind of a shock they've not sold it out before. It wasn't sold out today, was it?
No.
You could see quite a few empty seats.
Big old venue for a little old team.
The CBS Arena.
It's not that big though, is it? It's about 30,000.
It's big for Coventry.
Okay.
I don't know. They were pretty big in their day, weren't they? Should be in the Premier League by our kind of
agreed
rankings rules. Always. Yeah.
In a relegation battle in the Premier League is their natural spot.
And you should have had no complaints about their goalkeeper's time wasting because it should have been Steve Agruzovic.
Correct.
He was always very noted for his quick release.
Thanks, everyone. Yeah, we got it back to 2-1. It was 76 minutes, so yeah, it took us sort of 10 minutes from the subs happening for us to claw it back. Good work by Joseph on the left, I thought, and Georgie doing Georgie bits where he completely overcooks it, loses the ball, wins it back, loses it again, it falls to someone, bounces off someone, and we got the goal.
Yeah, it was a good finish, was that one. Then he completely binned it all with his shit finish.
It was good from Joseph as well. When you talk about mixing it up, that was a moment of something different happening, of somebody basically, instead of passing it to Somerville on the left, he just went into Somerville's zone and he said, I'll go on the left for a minute. Everyone else go in the middle. I'm not expecting this. And then, Rute just, he'll never give up on a ball, will he? Unless he wants to welly it into the back row of Coventry's stand. But he'll
not like Cinderella.
Always
hey
hold on to it. And then Piru, you're right, he used up his one good finish.
Yeah. I'm glad he scored because it's been a while.
Piru.
Yeah.
Should have scored another one though, shouldn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the problem. We won't be able to take the positivity of like, yes, I'm back in the goals. This is great. And I'm going to lead the line in the running. If ever you want to give Bamford a break, I'll go in there and I'll score a lot. And it's just actually no upperly. Next time he's on the pitch, he'll be terrified, the poor lamb. But it's only Tuesday, so we've got some time to get it out there.
You could see it though in his face, couldn't you? He knew. He knew. He'd done a naughty.
He did. He just didn't catch it right, did he? It was a mishit.
I've noted it down as 93 minutes, Pirro, oh no. And that's where I am with that one. So that was sad. Should we see what people have been saying? Mark Robbins, little scum bastard. You're coming up against a top team with quality, with know-how. I thought we defended pretty well where you have to. We were pretty good and calm. Second half, we were without the ball more. Leeds made smart changes. It's a joke. Their squad's unbelievable.
Okay. Fine.
Which part of our squad would you regard as the funniest?
It would have been Junior Firpo at one point, but I thought he was good today.
It's very good.
Mm. I suppose still would benefit from another striker stroke central midfielder, if you were to be critical
is
of
that
it.
The joke?
You know, it's not a joke, is it? It's all fairly decent, really.
If this is a joke, what's the punchline? Is it promotion? Is it playing Coventry again in the playoffs?
Yeah, I wouldn't really fancy that, I have to say. Because they, I don't know, I suppose with a different style of refereeing, probably Sims and Wright don't get away with quite as much.
Yeah, if somebody manages that game differently, and Katie mentioned in the comments on YouTube that he had zero authority, it felt a little bit like that. I know the Coventry crowd are getting a little bit wound up by him giving what they perceive to be a load of decisions to us.
Mm.
Most of them you could make an argument for, I think.
Yeah, I'd say so. And I think if you look at some of the stuff, like Sims early on, it was Ampadu and him chasing in the box, wasn't it? And he just like charged into Ampadu with the ball nowhere near. And I don't really see why that's not a booking. You never see him given, but you think, well, if you just take someone out when the ball's nowhere near, it's a yellow card, but I don't know.
I think on the hope of Sims being dealt with differently, if I'm reading the stats right, he's had 3 yellow cards this season and one of them was today.
Oh, really?
So he's getting away with, because he was a strong old fella at our place as well, so he's getting away with it, and 0.9 fouls committed per game.
I will say I don't blame him.
Low.
I don't blame him at all for playing like that.
No,
because he's good at it.
What about it caused
us some quite major problems.
The other guy, Wright, who seemed to enjoy just like chucking players about on or off the pitch, was another quite an interesting fella to deal with. I don't know how many he's been booked 3 times as well.
He didn't get booked today, did he?
No,
despite the sort of Conor Roberts neck throw.
Yeah.
I thought the ref potentially missed a handball as well when we crossed it in, and I suppose it's handball, so I don't know the rules.
If it hits your hand,
if it is, then it sometimes is, but silhouettes and...
It did look like that player had dived and with his hands diverted the ball back to the... I think he went to the goalkeeper and then...
I was thinking the one we ran out for a corner.
Didn't he deliberately punch it out for a corner?
Yes. You're right. Yes. He dived across and with his hands put it out for a corner. And I would say... that if your hands are on the floor, you're probably into the realms of an unnatural position.
Even if you scoop it out behind the byline like a 10-pin bowler, Moscow, like he did.
He was,
have I misremembered it?
He was on the pitch. I don't think it was behind the byline, which is why we were wanting a penalty for it. I don't know. It looked pretty handsy.
Yeah.
Pretty handsy.
It's one of those that I actually don't think probably should be handball, but then they always are. So then when it happens, you think, well, can't we have that?
I think we've got Premier League VAR PTSD there, haven't we? I'm thinking about the one that was given against Robin Koch, was it on the opening day after we first went up against Liverpool? Yeah. And they went, that's a silly rule, let's change that.
Yeah, I mean, they keep changing it because stuff keeps happening. They're like, that doesn't make sense either, does it? Right, we'll tweak it again and again and again and again. I'm still glad we've not got VAR.
No, it'd be bollocks, wouldn't it? And to be fair, you know, you might say might have missed a handball. We're not sat here crying about it, are we, particularly? Just think,
nah.
It
was just a frustrating afternoon when you start kind of complaining about these little things. If Pirro scores, it's probably fine.
Yeah.
Or if we just defend better.
Mm. Yeah. Well, while we await, I can't say these words, while we await Daniel Farker's comments.
Get Dean back.
Thank you to Dean for covering it.
Why is Dino on the bench?
I feel like I've earned my place back.
Really? Right? I thought you just turned up.
I was going to say, while we await Daniel Farker's comments, that leaves us what? Are we third in the table now?
Yes. Point behind Ipswich.
But good that they lost as well.
It's good that they lost.
Yeah, we're no worse off, are we, in terms of what happened with them? We're
3 points behind Leicester.
We're no longer in the automatic promotion places. So I think, and also we lost. So,
So it's over.
Yeah, we are. We're quite well. But Sunderland. Next, and I think I was looking at Ipswich's next few games, because who you thought Norwich might be their toughest one?
Yeah, they've got Watford midweek, then they've got Watford and Middlesbrough at home this week, Hull away, Coventry away, in fact.
Yeah.
Those are quite...
They're tough games.
I mean, we've seen Watford looking better when they drew with us. Borough, we've got to pin our hopes on Ayling and Greenwood and Housen doing some stuff, and Borough are pretty tough. Hull, just good, and also it's at Hull's place, so that's not a given. And then we've seen Coventry today, and it's at Coventry's place as well. So Ipswich have got, I mean, and we're just disregarding the fact that they're playing Huddersfield on the last day. That's clearly
all bets are off, baby.
That's clearly 3 points for Ipswich on the last day. But
equally, Huddersfield are going to, you'd rather they were playing Huddersfield, who will have probably something to play for on the last day, than Sunderland, who will be like, fuck it, let's just get an holiday.
Rather they were playing
Good team.
Like a team of capable footballers. And then Leicester, they're away to Millwall in midweek. And then it's Plymouth away, West Brom at home, Southampton home, Preston away, Blackburn home. They've probably got it a little bit easier. Plymouth sacked Fosdog. And then, so we're relying on Corberan and Southampton. You just don't know what you're going to get. Preston's the ghost of Peter Ridsdale. So it could, like, it's feeling a little bit, if they sort themselves out again, then it's time for some points deductions.
Yeah, that's what, yeah.
It's the only right, only moral and correct thing to do.
I want us to go up via their punishment for their cheating.
I feel like they should probably have about a 12-point deduction, but I'm happy to scale that down depending 10? On what we need. I'll just look at the end table and be like, yeah. 4 points behind him, 5 points off. Seems a good decision.
And you can appeal it next year.
Yes.
Are we going to let Ipswich in through this as well? I think we should. So no, definitely. It's down to that.
You know how Leicester's argument has basically been, we accept that the Premier League has got jurisdiction over us when we're in the Premier League and not when we're in the EFL. You can't touch us.
Got across state lines, didn't they?
Yeah, basically, yeah. So that's what I think should happen, is that they should punish them this season, but say, yeah, well, you can appeal it next season, regardless of which division you're in, and just like flip reverse it on them. That'd be good. Farkas comments are in. We'll dive more into these with Phil as well. He's going to be dialing in after he comes out of the press conference with Farker. So I'll have a chat with him about that, and we'll get that one out on Monday for you. But initially he said, Coventry are a good side. It was always a tricky game. We started well, had good scenes in or close to their box. From the statistics, it was a good away game, but we didn't win the decisive duels.
Yeah, fair enough.
I mean, if you give two goals away cheaply, it's tricky. Against a good side, and says it would have been a good point on the road if Peru had, well, we know. if Peru. So, yeah, and I think that it was, I guess why it's kind of difficult to get too irate about it. It was standard leads, sort of, but without the finishing touch at one end and just some stupidity at the other end. I don't even know how stupid the goals were. A scruffy corner and then getting countered on. Yeah. Neither of them should happen, but also neither of them are like the worst things that have ever happened to a football team. We just don't do it very often, which is a sign of a good team. And yeah, losing not at all in 2024 also means that the it's almost a weird. It's if we had not won not been unbeaten in 2024, and we'd had an average 2024. With the way Leicester and Ipswich have sort of gone off from the start of the season, we'd probably be third or fourth in the playoffs and thinking, oh, this is going pretty well. Mm. But it's just knowing that we've played so well so far this year that we now deserve to be champions.
Not that we're entitled at all.
It's true though, the general shape of the season has definitely had an impact, because you go, yeah. Oh, well, we're on such a good run, we'll just keep winning. And then if we just keep winning for a bit longer and a bit longer and a bit longer.
But you can't, can you? That's the thing. You just can't. And we know that. That's why I feel quite philosophical about it.
If we went back to November, I think we were all ready to just give Leicester the trophy and say, cracking, well done, amazing, record breaking, just have it now. We'll worry about trying to get second with Ipswich. And then, you know, we were talking in the shows this week about it. It's got to admire it's how relentless Ipswich have been. Not today, not in the big derby. Thanks, Andy Hughes, and Luciano Becchio, Bradley Johnson, Johnny Howson, Neil Kilkenny, wasn't it?
No. Snoddy.
But Neil Kilkenny.
Snoddy.
Neil Kilkenny. Most of all, Adam Drury,
yeah.
But we've kind of managed to get ourselves into the position we never thought we would be able to get in, and now it will be a pain if we don't take advantage of it.
Well, we go again on Tuesday. Between now and then, this will be out in your podcast feed and on YouTube as well. Phil as well will react more to stuff from a press point of view after this. And we'll be back with a match ball on Tuesday night, when everyone hopefully will be a lot happier, because we'll be playing in white on Tuesday, and we know that we are unbeaten in the white kit this season and nothing could possibly go wrong from here. We'll see. See you in a bit.
The Match Ball.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish. But you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast. So everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.